since we are obviously going to be launching our Vacation Bible School this evening, I thought it would only be fitting that we would look at the verse for the week, our focus verse. And so we'll be in Colossians 1. We'll be 15 and 16 is the focus verse, but we'll be looking at 15 through 18 today. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. And the title of this message, you'll like this title, is The Visible, Invisible God. The Visible, Invisible God. I want you to know that in your bulletins, you have an outline there that will help you in your bulletin. So if you have that, and on the back of that, you'll see some prayer guide for this week for Vacation Bible School. So if you'll take that and pray each night, each day, and it's got a focus there on the back. And so the motto is Searching the Visible, Discovering the Invisible for the week is our Vacation Bible School. And so I want us to think about that, but you have your outline there, and we'll also be following it on our overhead. So I want you to think about, let's stand to our feet as we reference God's Word, the visible, invisible God this morning. And so the Word of God says in Colossians 1, starting in 15, it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for a few moments, God, I pray, make Yourself so manifest through Your Word. I pray, dear God, that when we leave here in awe at the invisible, visible, invisible God that we serve. And I pray, God, do a work in people's hearts. There's somebody here that don't know You as personal Savior. I pray that they'll see this awesome God wants to have a relationship with them through Jesus Christ. Whatever goes on here, it'll be to Your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about the visible, invisible God this morning. And as the kids will be studying this week in Vacation Bible School, and you can see we have the stars, the decorations, and we have the space shuttle coming in for landing here, and all these things. We're just, when we think about God and the magnificence of God, listen, where you live today is one of the most awesome places that you can see God. And we take it for granted, don't we? We just drive by and we see all these mountains. I know, James, you always coming up from Charlotte. I guarantee you it felt good to be on the mountain, didn't it? It's been hot here. Can you imagine what it's like off the mountain? Oh, my goodness. I said there's so many people trying to get away from the heat. And we see them coming in because of it. But listen, this place, this magnificence that we can see all around us, it's God. And so this week, and teachers, I want to challenge you, especially it's going to be working with the little ones. Teach them to see God in everything. Teach them when they look up at the stars at night, not to think about aliens, but to think about the great Creator that created all this. Teach them to make much of Jesus in everything. And listen, the only way you're going to teach them that is you're going to have to be caught up in it yourself. We can't teach them something. I'm going to tell you what, kids will pick up real quick on what you're excited about. Anybody say amen about that? And so we got to give a little context to the book of Colossians because we never want to pull Scripture out without context. Listen, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, and they got a little problem going on. Okay, it's a heresy that the Greeks, it was called Gnosticism. And what it was, the Greeks of those days, they thought, here's what they think. Everything matter, everything material was evil. Everything spiritual was good. You see the problem with that? So they said there's no way that a God, a creator, could ever create anything because it would be touched. He would be touched by matter. You see, and that would be evil. And so they said that couldn't happen. And so they create this Gnosticism, this belief that these emanations, this source that comes from this greater God, it just kept on going down until this God was so far enough removed away that He created the universe. And they were teaching that. And so the early Christians were being sucked into that belief. You know, if you're not careful and you don't know your word, that you'll get sucked into every belief and philosophy that's out there. You live in that world today. You have universities here that's teaching your kids all kinds of garbage. And if you're not careful and you don't know what this word says, you can get sucked right into it too. And so it was that going on. And so Paul, you know what they were saying then? Christ, Jesus, could not be God. Had a young lady, and some of you are aware, that visited with us a couple times, came in after church a couple weeks ago, said that she was the female version of Christ. So this was her church. She had dominion over it. How do you reach somebody like that? And for me, I didn't want to throw away. I saw a soul. How do you reach somebody like that? How do you, so far removed with thinking that she thought that she was Christ in female form? It's sad, isn't it? How do we reach, but yet you've got a world that's full of different beliefs? You say, well, what about, I hope we end that today. What about this group? What about that group? Oh, they believe that way, so aren't they okay? We'll answer those things, okay? We need to answer that question once and for all. And the scriptures will do that today. And so they had this belief, this Greek philosophy, the man that was saying all this stuff. Matter's always been here, by the way. It's the only thing eternal. I mean, it was just crazy. And so Paul, can you imagine, Paul, when somebody said, listen, that same woman said Jesus wasn't God. Does that get anybody's dander up when somebody says that Jesus is not God? In fact, I was loving on her until she said that. I said, you ain't going to speak heresy about my Savior. I said, I love you, but you're not going to speak heresy about my Savior. Why is that? Because the Scripture tells us He is God, and that's what Paul's dealing with here. That's going to be our Scripture motto for this week for these little ones. They need to solidify in a world that's saying, hey, you got all these gods, you got all these roads, and all roads lead to heaven. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? That's a damnable belief. And all that will do will lead men and women, boys and girls, to hell because they don't receive the only true way, and that's in Christ. That's not politically correct preaching today, okay? That's biblical preaching. And that's what we got. And one of these days, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and He ain't going to ask me how politically correct I was. He's going to ask me, did I preach your word? And I take that serious. Listen, and them kids that God's brought here, ooh! The weight of that to understand, listen, we can't just take that. This is just regular church. God's brought them here for a purpose and for a reason. And the prayers of the saints is prayed years ago. God, do this. He's done it. And so it fell right in our lap. What are we going to do with it? It's our responsibility to teach them that Christ is the only way. You're going to have to get that solidified in your own heart if it's going to make a difference in their heart. And so we see this visible, invisible God. Listen, God, and so can you imagine they would never say that what Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father. A Greek would never agree with that. Okay? Why? Because, man, he would be evil if he touched matter. If he became flesh, he would be evil. He couldn't be spiritual. He couldn't be God. Do you see the thinking? And so Paul realizes heresy was so important and that he had to. Listen, I want you to know something. That God became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14 says. And He dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. He came for a purpose. Why did God have to come? Because it's the only sacrifice that could atone for man's sin. And He had to die on a cross, a rugged cross called Calvary. And He died and was buried, but the third day He arose. Why is that? The only way that we could ever be made right with God is through His sacrifice. That's Jesus. That's God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that the Scripture tells us about. There's no other way. No other name given amongst men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this invisible God, the apostolic church, you know what they believed? He was Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. We need to get that down today. He's Lord of all in your life, or He's not Lord at all. It's time to quit playing games. No longer can we live in the church that vacillates and, oh, well, you know what? I can look like the world. I can act like the world, but I'm still a Christian and I'm saved. Listen, you better know who's dwelling within you. You better know who your Savior is and you better know who your Lord is. Because this thing's going to wind down one day and the only thing that's going to matter is did we have Christ or didn't we have Christ? And so our scripture today, man, that the apostolic church, they believe he's either Lord at all, Lord of all, or not Lord at all. And so we really need a higher view of Christ than what we have. We need to make much of him. We need to see this morning to see the visible, invisible God. And our view of Christ will change the way that we do life. Okay? Our Christology. How do we believe and how do we see Christ will change the way that you do life. And it should. I want us to look this morning at this. I want you to ask yourself the question too. Are there areas in my life that he's not first place? Christ should be first place in all areas. Are there areas in our life that he's not first place? These are great questions, and I want us to think about the superiority of Christ this morning. And we'll see three statements. First, his superiority in eternity. Look at verses 15a. What does it say? He is the image of the invisible God. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament and the New Testament about God being invisible. No man has seen the Father except the Son. We see these verses that he's invisible. And yet we see also in John 1:18 where it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared or explained him. Christ came on the scene to explain to see. If you ever wonder what God's like, just look at Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God. In other words, Jesus explains who God is, or Jesus is the exegesis of God. He's the image of the invisible God. And the word image there is icon. The word that the English word we get the word icon from, or picture. Now, come on, we can relate to that. We're all about, let me get you the moment. What's that called? A selfie, isn't it? Everybody's all about selfies nowadays. In fact, the whole social media is all involved. That man Sandy posted a picture in here yesterday about inviting people out. We're all about selfies. What is a selfie? It's an image of who we are. It's a picture. So can we say, hey, Jesus is a selfie of God? We can't stay there. Come on. But he's the image, he's the picture of who God is, because 1 Corinthians tells us that Christ is the character of God also. So it's so much more than an icon or a selfie. He is God. And he's superior over eternity. He is the exact representation of God. He is the essence of God. He is the portrait of God. But he's also God. He explains God to us. He came for that reason. To represent God for mankind. Man, he stood in the gap of sin for us. Christ, the only way. Image represents his relationship with eternity. His superiority in eternity. But next Paul's going to introduce us to his superiority in creation. Now hold on, this is some good stuff. And it goes right along with our theme. Look, that's why it's the motto verse. Listen to what it says. The firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Not only does he have superiority in eternity, but he has superiority in creation. And he gives us, listen, he's going to list four reasons he's superior to creation. Look what it says. First is he's firstborn over all creation, verses 15b. When we hear this word firstborn, well, what do we think about? If any of you's got a child, the first thing you think about is your firstborn child, doesn't it? I want you to know the Jehovah Witnesses and the Arians did also. They used this verse to say that, well, Jesus was created. Well, we're going to see the context of this verse is far from that. In fact, we see that that word creation can mean it's referring to rank, and any of the Jewish or even the Greek understood that the firstborn was the first inheritor. He inherited the whatever it was that was passed down. He's in first in rank here. It's not talking about that he was created. It introduces to Christ as superior in creation. Why? I'm glad you asked me that. Look at the next. He's creator. Verse 16a. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He is the agent of creation. Who? Jesus, your Savior. And he, you know what? He created everything out of nothing. It, contrary to the Greeks, matter, he created it ex nihilo, out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. That's God. That's the power of your Savior. That's the power of God that hung on a cross for you. Now think about that for a moment this morning. He says material and spiritual. I want you to think about the sun and the diameter of our sun that came up this morning. You better be glad that it did. You ever think of, praise God, it came up again. It might be hot, but you got to guarantee if it didn't come up, you'd be a lot worse shake. Anybody say amen to that? The diameter of our sun is 864,000 miles. 100 times that of Earth. And listen to this. It could hold 1.3 million planets the size of Earth inside of it. That's our sun that Jesus created. Now, don't stop there. The star Betelgeuse, did you know that? It's not the show, the movie. It's the star Betelgeuse has an estimated diameter of 100 million miles, which is larger than Earth's orbit around the sun. Now think about our orbit. We're on that journey, 66,000 miles an hour right now on our orbit around the sun. We're rotating on an axis at over 1,000 miles an hour. You're on that ride, by the way. Do you feel it? You imagine what that, or your roller coaster down there at Carowinds, it goes, how fast is it? 90-some miles an hour, and they're all caught up in that. 66,000 miles an hour, rotating 1,000, that's a pretty good ride, ain't it? Aren't you glad for gravity? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't, so you better be thankful for it. Listen, but I want you to think about that size of the awesomeness. There's a star out there that it takes us 365 days at 66,000 miles an hour to rotate around this sun on this orbit. And there's a star out there that's larger than that entire orbit. That's God. You want to get awesomeness of the God that we serve. Think about that. Listen, it takes sunlight traveling at 180,000 miles a second. The speed of light. It takes it about 8.5 minutes to reach Earth, the sunlight from the sun. Yet, this same light could take more than 4 years to reach the nearest star to our Alpha Centauri, some 24 trillion miles from Earth. That's the universe that we live in. That's our God. The Milky Way contains hundreds of billions of stars, and there are millions, if not even billions of galaxies, estimated stars at 10 to the 25th power, roughly the number of all the grains of sands on all the world's beaches. That's the universe that you, these kids, that we're teaching them about, that God made. But he don't stop that. He says the visible and the invisible. He created all these visible and invisible. Think about the billions of insects. I'm a woods guy. I get out there and I'm traipsing around in the woods. You can turn over any rock and any log and there's some little insect that you is insignificant to you. God created it. Let's even go smaller than that. How about the oxygen that you're breathing in this room? The atom. And the oxygen atom that's in this room, in that tiny nucleus are 8 protons and 8 neutrons. Think about it. Listen, 8 positively charged and 8 negatively charged. Now, how does that work when you put a positive, or not negative, but a neutral? The neutron's neutral. How does that work when you put a positive charge in a neutral charge? What does it do? It disperses, don't it? We see that. In fact, all our laws of magnetic and electricity, we can get all that. We ain't going to get into that. But listen, yeah, what holds it together? Scientists have not proved that yet, by the way. Guess what? Am I smarter than the scientists? I guess right now it's Jesus, okay? It's Jesus that holds it all together. He did it all. He created it all. And they're still trying to figure it out. And here we got the answer right here in Scripture. And they don't want this. They don't, look, we'll just lay that on the floor. They don't want this. They want this. Who, what holds it together? Christ. In fact, one of these days where it talks about the earth rolling up like a scroll, we know that scripture. What's it look like when he turns all them atoms loose? Disintegration, man. He is the firstborn over all creation. He's the creator, but also he's the goal of creation. Hold on for this one. This is what's beautiful, and Donnie even alluded to this morning, and he didn't have a clue in our Sunday school lesson about this lesson. It says, all things were created through him and for him. For him and through him is astounding. Think about that. This is Christ. And here's what's really interesting. The word for him there, for means towards. Towards. Everything is moving towards its goal in him. The telos, the end results, that which everything is working towards, is Christ. He is the Alpha. He is Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. It's all working for the culmination. It's all working towards him. Danny was talking about this morning about how the same God that we serve, Moses served the same God. Look at the technologies that's changed, but how God never changes. Why then are we getting, look, it's working towards the end result. Hello! And his name is Christ. It's all working towards him. It's all working for a purpose and a plan, and it's Christ. And these verses is what's telling us that. Aren't you glad he shares these things with us? Everything's in a created order, and it's moving towards him. The anthropic principle says that, hey, there's something outside this universe, and everything's in order, and it seems like it has a purpose and a plan. Guess what it does? It's called Jesus. He created it, he sustains it, and he's working towards the end result. Do you understand? One day, the Easter sky is going to part, and he's coming back. That creator, the scripture tells us that. We better be ready, boy, I tell you. Then think about this. All these things that we look at, is it not only logical that and rational that we submit to him? Is it not? I mean, if this is true and we know that it is that not logical or rational that we submit to the Creator? The one that created it all and everything's working toward him? Is that not the rational outcome of learning these things? Then why is it that we don't? Why is it that the world doesn't turn to him but rejects him? Because not only is he the goal of creation, but he's the sustainer of creation. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That word consist, hold together. The tense of the verb is perfect. That means what? It happened in the past, continues in the present, and will continue in the future. If it ever stopped, like we said, it would disintegrate. It would just all quit. Boom. Listen, he's the cohesion of the universe. The glue that holds it all together. Listen, Hebrews 1:3 said, who being the brightness or radiance of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the power of his word. He holds the atom together. How many of you are Star Wars fans? It's all right. Don't be embarrassed. You can raise your hand, Star Wars fan. Listen, the force be with you. Listen. He's the force, and his name is Jesus, okay? His name is Jesus. That don't mean a pantheon that he's in everything. He's not in this podium and all that. He is the creator of everything. He is the maker of all mountains. His face is in every flower. His cross is in every tree. He's the one that created it all. Who? Jesus. He's the force. May the force be with you, brothers and sisters. And may his name, we're understanding his name is Jesus Christ. He's not contained in it. That's a pantheism kind of belief. He's not in all that. He made it, and he sustains it. You mean, that beat of my heart? I just want you to know this morning, please. I'm not telling my brain to make my heart beat. I don't know if any of you are. Please tell me if you ever control that. I'd like to know that. I'm not telling my heart, you better beat. Boom, 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 boom. It's beating pretty fast right now because I'm jacked up. I'm not telling it to beat. I'm not telling my lungs, take that breath. I'm not. It's the innateness. Christ sustains it. You mean every beat of my heart, every breath that I take? Christ, the hope of glory. Christ. He said he sustains all things. Greater than the Gnostic gods the Greeks could ever have fashioned is our God, Christ. He created it all. He sustains it all. Lastly, I want you to look at his superiority in the church. So his superiority in eternity, his superiority in creation, now his superiority in the church. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The body, my body cannot live without my head. You take my head off right now and guess what? Nothing will, well, I'll just flop in the floor. Why? My body can't live without my head. Can anybody agree with that? Well, he says he's the head. And it says that, look, baptized into his body, and he's the head. We're baptized. We're his church. But he's the head. There's no man that runs the church. Christ does. He is. This is God's house. You are God's people. Every piece of property we own is God's. Every bit of money that you give is God's. Every child that walks up here and we learn is God's. It's all his. And he's the head. We're his body. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead? There's again that word firstborn. It means rank. Our resurrection comes from his resurrection. The scripture tells because Christ raised one day, we will also that believe in him. That's why that old song, ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Gonna get up out of the ground when I hear the trumpet sound. Why? Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Why? Because of his resurrection. One day the scripture said, I will resurrect also and be with him. And be like him. Be face to face. Listen, that's what the church is about. Us coming and worshiping and going, getting together. Look, I'm getting so tore up I can't even talk. That's all right. That's all right. The church is about us gathering together and worshiping this God, this creator, this sustainer, this one that created it all. It's laying down, listen, those worries and those troubles that we have. Why do they compare to the Christ that we serve when we see these scriptures? Can he not take care of our troubles if he could create a universe? Yes. Satan wants us to get our focus off of him and onto our own needs and our worries when we need to be focusing on him, the creator and sustainer. He gives us life. In other words, he has first rank in creation. He has first rank in resurrection. What a miracle. What a miracle for us to join together. Look, on Sunday morning, do you get, you guys, here's the truth of the matter. You could be out riding a river. You could be out camping. You could be out traipsing in the woods. You can be out doing a lot of things. And I know we all go on vacation to do that. But look where you're at. You're in the church. You're spending time together worshiping. What a miracle. It's Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. This old world tugs and pulls and it continues to do so. You know what? We as a church, that our head's Christ, we just need to represent him everywhere we go and make much of Jesus. Why? It's the only thing that's going to be worthwhile. Hey, if he made this machine, he can fix it. You believe that? The answer to the world's problem is Christ. The answer to your problems, husband and wife, you having problems? Christ. Answer to our family problems, our work problems, everything that comes down to the tube, our health problems, Christ. Because see, when we understand that when this old body's laid down, and it will because of sin, by the way, sin came in, death come in, that hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So how can we fear death? Why should we fear it? When I'm delivered from this sin-sick body of mine, I'm present with the Lord because of what? Christ has done. Now, He gave us this beautiful universe. He gave us this church to serve in and to be together and to work together and to serve Him. And as we'll step out, we're teaching these kids. Listen, get excited about Jesus. Get excited. Let them see. Listen, the world's going to teach them to find their purpose and who knows what avenues. The world's so mixed up now they don't know what genders are. God didn't make any mistakes, by the way. All right? They're so mixed up. They're trying to find their avenues. They're trying to find their place. That's sad. That should break our heart. Why? We got the answer. God made the machine. Can He not fix it? Christ made it. Christ can fix it. He's Christ. He's got to have first place. What does all this mean? I love He finishes up that in all things He may have the preeminence. He's superior. Understand this morning, there's no room for a plethora of other religions. What about? Take it to God's Word. There's no room. Why? He's superior. He's God. There's nobody else, no other way given amongst men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus. If you really believe that, then you live that. And next time somebody says, well, what about? You say, Scripture said. Not me. Thus says the Word of God. It says that Christ is the one who created it. Christ sustained it. I owe Him my allegiance. I owe Him my every breath, every beat of my heart. I owe Christ. How about you? So He must have first place in our families, first place in our marriages, first place in our love, first place in our conversations, first place in our eating, first place in our playing, what we watch, our music, our worship, our hearts. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about serving Him and making Him first place. And it'll change some of the ways and some of the things that we do if He is first place. Why? Jesus, take the wheel. He's my co-pilot. You shouldn't even be in the cockpit. He is the one that's in control. The only rational understanding we can come to when we read these verses is that our teachers this week need to teach our children in Vacation Bible School. Find Jesus in everything. But the only way you're going to do that if you're living that. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't come teaching our kids if you're not sold out to Him. He's not first place. But you can get that right this morning. This is an important week coming up. One of the most important weeks that we have as a church. Why? It's not entertaining kids. It's not playing. Although we'll have fun, I heard that we're going to have a visit from a real astronaut. You don't want to miss that. Buzz Cooper. Why do we do that? Why? You say, well, Pastor, why do y'all take the time and say anything? Why do y'all take time to do that? Because it's important to me. It's important to me. Is it important to you? Ask that question. Listen, applications and we'll be done. Sarah, you can come and start playing, please. Will you commit to pray for Vacation Bible School? Will you? You say, well, you know, most of you may be in your mind and say, I ain't going to go to Vacation Bible School. That's for kids and all that. Listen, you ought to commit to pray. Number two, will you commit to pray for each child, student, and volunteer this week? Will you do that? Will you commit to do that as a church and as a body of believers? Number three, will you commit to pray for those who are in church in our community? To join our church for Vacation Bible School. Will you pray? You should have already been praying that. Will you commit to pray? People in this community that wouldn't normally come. You heard Barry's testimony. Barry, I don't know if you could hear that or not. He said he got saved in Vacation Bible School. Because we didn't have our pulpit mic and couldn't hardly hear. See, he got saved in Vacation Bible. That's 40, what'd you say, 45 years ago, Barry? Who knows? Maybe this week there'll be another deacon. Be another person that gives their life, that'll be here the rest of their life, that'll give their heart to Jesus this past week. Is that not important to us? How important is it to us? Stand to your feet. I want everybody that's willing to pray for this Vacation Bible School come around this altar right now. We'll close out. We'll close out praying right here around the altar. Find your place. My, my, my. If you can't get here, just bend down right where you're at. Bend down right where you're at. Thank you for being willing to pray. Thank you. Blesses my heart. This is a team effort. Takes every one of us that's here, whether you're working or not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We bow our knee before you. We've seen in your word today, your creator, sustainer. God, you did it all, and you give it to us all. We have life, and we have it abundantly through Christ our Lord. For those that know you, for somebody around this altar that doesn't know that they have you as their personal Savior, then I pray their first prayer is, God, save me and forgive me. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, Lord, and I turn from my sin, and I turn to you. And I pray somebody prays that if they don't know you as personal Savior, Lord. If there's others that are right here around this altar, God, that maybe you're not first place, they realize, God, they're caught up in the things of the world. And I pray right, first of all, Lord, we get these things right before we pray for Vacation Bible School. We say, Lord, help me to make you first place. Lord, let me give you my heart. I lift up my heart to you and say, Lord, be first place in my life. God, I pray as we pray for our Vacation Bible School this week. Every boy, every girl, every adult, every worker, everybody that comes here, Lord, I pray they'll sense the love of Christ first in your people. And then they'll sense the presence of an almighty God through the creation as we teach these things about you. And then, Lord, Wednesday night, as we share the gospel message with these younger ones, make it clear, make it relevant. I pray that they'll see it and hear it for your glory. God, we're not about chalking up numbers. We don't care about that. Lord, we want every one of them to come know you as personal Savior. God, regardless if it's here, at home, wherever, we want them to know you. And so we're asking you, God, in Jesus' name, be real. Make yourself real. Thank you for every person that's a part of this Vacation Bible School. God, thank you that we can pray around this altar. And ask you to be glorified. We don't have to ask if it's in your will. We ask that Christ will be glorified. I pray, dear God, do something right here at this church that only you can get the glory for. No man, no group of people, but only Jesus will be lifted up. May your kingdom be grown, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.